Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Now, that second Oireachtas Committee appearance by Ryan Tubridy and his agent Noel Kelly is still underway. But let's hear now from the man who chaired this morning's committee meeting, Sinn Féin's Brian Stanley. Brian, you're very welcome to the programme. And I should mention, as I mentioned before a number of times in this programme, I was previously represented by NK, but never in dealings with RTE. Can we run through some of the highlights and the main questions arising out of today's hearing, Brian Stanley? And as I say, you're very welcome to the programme. The assertion by Ryan Tubridy this morning in a statement about the seven untruths, and the first untruth that he pointed to, he said, and I quote, "I took a 20% pay cut from RTE in my 2020-25 contract. That's it. I took a 20% pay cut from RTE." But that claim, Brian, was subject of a lot of debate today. Did the committee eventually accept that statement as true?
Good evening, Cormac. Good evening to your listeners. I think the problem is that the while that may show, if you look at the figures in one way, the facts are is that the top-up payments, of course, moves all this to one side. And that's the problem, the same as the previous term in question, mm-hmm. the 2017 to 2019, the previous 3 years. The problem is that all of this, that at the heart of all of this is the issue of his earnings being underdeclared for public consumption and finding, you know, very strange ways and unusual ways of making payments. And sometimes you'd look at it and you'd say, deliberately causing confusion, creating diversionary routes and paying money into companies that are based in England for services not provided, for, you know, those famous invoices like for...
Yeah, we'll get
for
to that, yeah.
For consultancy.
But his assertion today, and Noel Kelly's assertion, is that that's RTE's procedure and or structure of the payment, but there, it was never an under-declaration on their part.
Well, the facts are this, is that if you see your pay being declared as being 75,000 less than what it is, and you're in that business and you know it's being published for public consumption, surely to God, first of all, that you would recognise it. And secondly, that you would recognise that you had an obligation to correct that. He did apologise for that. But I mean, I think it is a glaring gap in their case.
And Alan Kelly said that the claim that he did take a 20% pay cut in the round, he said, doesn't have credibility. Can I ask you about some of the other issues, which is rejected, of course, by Ryan Tubridy, I should say, and Noel Kelly. The invoices. There was an awful lot of questions, as you allude to there, about the invoices that relate to the tripartite agreement. Can I ask, first of all, did you get to the bottom of this? Why NK, why they invoiced a UK company when they were dealing with RTE for services in Ireland? Was that cleared up?
Well, Noel Kelly, the agent, threw RTE under the bus on that one as well. The way he tried to divert that away is that he was following instructions from RTE. It wasn't him that came up with the term consultancy fee, but I mean, and this was put where Mr. Kelly's and Mr. Trubridy's case, I suppose, didn't stand up to scrutiny, was that when you look at it like this, that here you have an agent who's used to doing deals, who's used to receiving payments for his client, for the talent, in this case Ryan Tubridy, along with, I mean, he's a man in the business for 23 years, is what he told me today and told the committee. Mm-hmm. So the facts are is that, first of all, you're being told to put down, to go along with a term that you clearly know there's no consultancy provided.
Did he accept that today?
No, he didn't. He tried to bat that away. But
what did he say when questioned about that?
Well, I mean, he tried to muddy the waters in terms of and tried to divert the question and, you know, answer a different question. That was a tactic being deployed throughout the meeting.
But in fairness to, and that's a loaded term, which I'm sure he would reject. He did say that this was on instruction from RTE, that he was doing business with RTE for, I think, over 20 years, if memory serves me correctly. And he also said that why would he question RTE on all of this?
Well, 2 points to make there, whether it's loaded or not. I think people who looked at it today or people who look back over those clips of it will make up their own mind regarding that, whether what to make of those statements to Noel Kelly. The second thing is that just being told by RTE to do it, I mean, he's running a company. He has a number of companies. surely what you would do is that it looked highly unusual from an accountancy point of view. It looked completely sidestepping the way matters should be done. And, you know, that it was going to this company that he hadn't heard of before, that he knew nothing about. That's what he said.
Asked us, yeah.
And then he comes along, but still he decided to go along with it and to go along with that invoice.
And now, it was anonymised. Did you ask him about that?
Well, yes. And I mean, if you look at the copies of the invoice, I mean, it's completely ridiculous. Like, just consultancy fees, two words written on it. That's not acceptable in business.
But who asked for that? He's saying it's RTE, didn't he?
Well, he's saying that, but the point here is, Cormac, is that surely he, in terms of his accountancy and his bookkeeping, you would question that, and you know, it stood out as being highly unusual, right from the first time we got to hear about this, and it's not normal practice in business or in accountancy.
We asked,
and he should have raised those questions.
We asked RTE on foot of that evidence from Noel Kelly and Ryan Turbidy today some specific questions as well, and I'll try and weave them into our conversation, Brian. We asked them, RTE, when asking NK Management to invoice, why did RTE ask NK Management to avoid using specific names on the invoice? And the RTE response is, the Grant Thornton report carried out a review of this issue and spoke to the relevant people. We refer you to that report.
Well, I mean, there you have it. Everybody's trying to come up with a reason for going along with a situation where it's anonymous.
I think that was inconclusive, I think.
Yes, of course.
Can I ask you about the tripartite deal? Not the invoices associated with it, but the tripartite deal or the Renault deal, and people have various terms. Your committee asked the two gentlemen, who initiated that deal? Do we know who now?
And there was various answers. The answers given to that weren't 100% clear. What we do know is that he's saying that it was RTE. He basically put back on RTE and talked around that there was a number of people in RTE that came up in that conversation around that. But I mean, by any standards, that is a very unusual deal. And there, you know, based on the copy that I have, it wouldn't look to be a legally binding document, because the second last sentence in it says, once signed by all parties, this agreement will constitute a legally binding document, and has acknowledged that there will be a valid consideration of this agreement. But if you look underneath that, the first thing that stands out is that the only ones that had signed it back in 2021 was actually the person on behalf of Renault. The signature from Noel Kelly only came, which is interesting in itself, on the 24th of April this year. That was signed by Yaniv McCormack.
And the committee members were trying to connect that, weren't they? This seems to be the suggestion in the questioning, that when problems arose, or when it was notified that there were problems with some of these payments by the auditors, then there's a suggestion that the agreement was signed post haste, isn't that right?
Well, that's what it looks like. I mean, it looks like that it was signed, you know, trying to roll backwards and catch up by signing it this way. That's the conclusion that a lot of people would draw from it.
But up until now, in terms of underwriting the payments in that tripartite or Renault deal, the RTE line until now was that there was no record of a guarantee by RTE to underwrite those payments. That it was in a Zoom meeting verbally done by the former Director General Dee Forbes, but Ryan Turbidy and Noel Kelly put documentary evidence today, or an email from Breed O'Keefe, I think, the former CFO, who alluded to a letter of intent in that regard. What was the conclusion arising out of the questioning on that, Brian?
Well, I think in fairness on that, Cormac, that it's important to state that, you know, that's the first time that we have seen documentation from an earlier period, from February, from Breed O'Keefe. And that clearly sets out, it not just alludes to it, but it sets it out in black and white regarding that 75,000 extra. It's there in black and white in print. And until we saw those documents this morning, that's the first sight that we've had of that. RTE executives in the previous three hearings have dealt with that very differently, and they have said that there was no knowledge of it, no one knew about it. There was, the two things that stand out. One is that the timelines were given to believe was much later, when there was that was agreed as part of a Zoom call between Mr. Kelly and RTE, including Dee Forbes.
They say there was no written record of it until now in evidence to the committee. We asked RTE about that specifically as well. They say the claim relates specifically to an email that was sent by the former CFO of RTE to NK Management on the 20th of February 2020, which is being characterised as a contractual commitment on the part of RTE to underwrite the payments in question. RTE does not accept this characterisation, they say. RTE's position is that the email of the 20th of February 2020 formed part of the discussions and engagement in relation to the proposed new TV and radio contract and did not compromise a binding legal or contractual commitment on its part. And RTE's position is as per previous statements. Does RTE have questions to answer on foot of the evidence you heard today?
Yes, while it wasn't the final commitment in terms of the 75,000 extra per year, it's clear in that letter. It's absolutely clear, anybody who reads it, that the that they had moved to a situation, both parties had moved into a situation where the 75,000 did figure and was not just actively under discussion, but was starting to take shape and be solidified, let me put it like that. Mm-hmm. Your question regarding RTE, I think RTE executives do have questions to answer. Unfortunately, we've been notified today that the author of that letter, Miss Breda O'Keefe, who did appear, the former chief financial officer of RTE, who did appear last week, mm-hmm. and who seemed to give very convincing evidence to the committees, unfortunately, the latest I heard is that she's notified us that she can't come this Thursday.
Oh.
which I think is a pity.
Is there a reason?
I don't know the reason yet.
Okay.
Trying to catch up on all of this.
Okay, we'll come to that in just a second. The RTE statement, two really quick questions to finish, Brian. The RTE statement, on foot of the statements by Ryan Tuberty, the opening statements by Ryan Tuberty and Noel Kelly today, where they say they were putting seven untruths, outlining seven untruths based on the RTE evidence so far at various committees. Then there was an RTE statement this morning rejecting those. We asked RTE if this statement was issued with the imprimatur of the new Director General. And they say the statement was an official RTE statement. What do you accept that as meaning?
Well, if I was the new Director General, I would be talking to whoever put that statement together this morning.
It seems to suggest that he had a hand in it.
He may have had a hand in it, but obviously people who have been, you know, working on this internally within RTE, who've had hands-on on this for the past few weeks, I think they might have some useful explanations to give to the new Director General, Kevin Backhurst, because I think that there's a credibility thing there in terms of, you know, damaging for RTE that happened today. Mm-hmm. But having said that, I want to be fair to Kevin Backhurst. He arrived yesterday morning at 8 o'clock in RTE. He does, you know, he won't be on top of everything.
No, in terms of Kevin Backhurst, he said he was working before he arrived into the position officially.
He wouldn't have seen the seven. He wouldn't have seen the 7 points that Ryan Tuberty was making.
Accepted,
presumably until this morning. So it would have had maybe very little, maybe a half an hour or an hour to respond. So it'd been better if they hadn't issued that statement.
Can I ask you one last question, and briefly, if I may, the new Director General Kevin Backhurst spoke about Ryan Tuberty's future. He was asked about it previously in recent days. He said, we'll see how this week plays out. And he called for full transparency at the committee. He said he wanted to stabilise the situation at RTE. Now, given what you've heard today, has the situation been stabilised? Was there full transparency? Is there a way back for Ryan Tuberty to RTE?
I don't want to personalise this to Ryan Tuberty, but I would say this, that the evidence we heard today from Mr. Tuberty, but particularly the evidence from Mr. Kelly, was it lacked credibility, and it simply, I would have serious problems with it, and I think when people have had an opportunity to absorb some of the statements made today, and some of the questions not answered, and the questions sidestepped, I think that people will make up their own minds. And that's for Kevin Backhurst and the senior staff at RTE. It's not for me. Mm. What I do know is that was the performance today credible? an awful lot of it lacked credibility, and particularly from the agent.
Well, it's something we alluded to, predicted possibly in this programme some time ago at the very outset, that evidence would have been contradicted by parties left, right and centre, and it seems to be playing out. Chair of the PAC, Brian Stanley, thank you very much indeed. And the evidence to the Oireachtas Media Committee continues, and Sarah will discuss that with Christopher O'Sullivan of the Media Committee after six.